to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to give you an overview of what's happening in the United States of America and, of course, what's happening in Europe, specifically Paris, France. And I don't know if you've seen the pictures and videos of the 2024 Olympics ceremony in Paris. I don't advise that you do. I advise that you do not look at them, that you especially do not look at them with children in the room. And by that, I mean children even in the older ages. I strongly advise that you stay away from that. I have not seen all of the pictures. I don't want to see all of the pictures and videos. What I saw was enough. I heard descriptions, partial descriptions of what was in the videos and pictures. And that was bad enough. Without being gratuitous, but I still have to communicate what happened, because if you don't know what's happening, you can't project what is going to happen in America and the rest of the world. So you need a certain amount of knowledge, but you also need a discernment regarding how much you should absorb, if any, by the way. And what I would say is that obviously this program, I can't hop back and forth. So this program is, you definitely want to turn off whatever you're listening to if you have young children in the room, or if you yourself are offended, and you should be offended. But it is going to be, no matter how much I sanitize it, it is going to be offensive information. So there won't be any countdown, because the whole thing is an abomination, if you want my candid appraisal. So that's your warning. There won't be any more warnings on today's edition of the Paul McGuire Report. So let's look at it with discernment and wearing the full armor of God. So they had the Olympic ceremonies there. I don't know. They're probably still going on. I don't know. Remember, these ceremonies are heavily financed by the eight wealthiest billionaire, trillionaire families and the mega global corporations that they own. These very powerful financial entities, make no mistake about it, they are financing this stuff. Somebody pays for it. The Olympics is not just some non-attached entity that floats out there. The Olympics has corporate and other sponsorship in a big way. So in some of the ceremonies that have already occurred, and I'm going to be very careful of how I say this, what you saw was essentially, according to many people, and that's my own appraisal to a significant degree, you essentially saw an open, unadulterated, full-blown expression of Satanism, satanic rituals, sexual perversion of all kinds, especially pedophilia. And if you know anything about occult symbolism and occult rituals, there were the Olympic ceremonies in Paris featured a constant bombardment of open satanic rituals. And in these open satanic rituals, many which were a direct attacks on Christianity, and I want to repeat that. The World or Global Olympics featured in their 2024 Paris, France Olympic ceremonies a consistent, regular, offensive attack energized by the spirit of Antichrist. It attacked Christianity, the Bible, biblical values, the values of the Word of God. It was a full-on Antichrist assault against Christians, Christianity, and the Bible, which is really the essence of Satanism, because Satanism is a rebellion from Jesus Christ, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So, what was featured were unspeakable enactments and rituals and like little vignettes and plays and all kinds of things of celebrating adults having sexual relations with young children and so on and so forth. Now, why are these mega corporations, the trillionaire, billionaire families, the globalist elites, the 2.5 mega global corporations that own all of the world, why are they financing and covering for and promoting all kinds of things that the Bible speaks against? What you were watching was the first major eruption, like a volcano, the first explosion, the first major explosion of satanic energy and satanic violence being released into the earth. This has been building for a long time. Anybody who's been paying attention knows this has been building for a long time, because the open Satanism, the satanic occultism, the satanic ritualism, the sexual perversion, the pedophilia, and the satanic ceremonies have appeared over and over and over and over and over again in Olympic ceremonies, major football games, the Super Bowl, and on and on and on, featuring the biggest musical stars in the world who participated in their dress, in the messages they were communicating, in the symbolism that they used, in the theatrical type of dancing, whatever that they were using. So this satanic energy, this open promotion of Luciferianism and Satanism, has been going on for a decade or more aggressively. It's seen in feature films, it's seen in episodic television, it's seen at the biggest public events, sporting events specifically. It's like a preamble to major basketball games, major football games, and so on and so forth. The difference between this was done at a satanic ceremony in the mountains to celebrate the opening of CERN, the interdimensional technology. I just happened to see a picture of what was going on at the satanic celebration at CERN within the last, 3 weeks. It was by accident. I don't know what I was doing, but I was looking on the internet, or I was on X, formerly Twitter, and for whatever reason, it could have been any organization, but they sent me a photograph of the celebration of the satanic ritual going on at CERN, which I'd seen many times. But when I realized that a lot of the picture was very small, so I really wasn't getting a clear view and couldn't really make any meaning out of a lot of what I saw. So I took off my reading glasses and I had to press my eyes closer to the photograph or the video image. And when I did that, I was able to see far closer up than normal. And I'm not easily shocked, not easily stunned, but I was shocked and stunned by what previously was a rather blurry, ambiguous picture, which I didn't really understand the meaning of it. And then when I took off my reading glasses and pressed my eye up close, I could see with clarity the detailed images of what the people participating in the satanic celebration of CERN were actually doing. And I was stunned and I was shocked because it was beyond my wildest imagination. If you didn't, if I'm not encouraging anybody to do what I did, by the way, absolutely not. But if you just see the pictures, you may think, oh, well, that's risque or, oh, that's offensive. But the difference between seeing it at that viewpoint where you make an assessment that, oh, it's risque or it's controversial and it's not as bad as it appears, then you don't get it. Then you really haven't looked at the picture close up. Because when you look at the picture close up and you see it in crystal clear clarity, it depicts things out in the open, being done out in the open, which are absolute perversions and abominations that are just beyond, I think it's beyond anybody's ability to comprehend and understand that we would ever come to a time in the human race where we would openly celebrate and show in detail horrific things. And I'm not going to go any further because if I go any further, I might inadvertently give too clear of a description, and I don't want to do that. But it was an abomination. I was stunned. It was like somebody punched me in the stomach. Because I could not believe that this picture, which was shown to hundreds of millions of people around the world, the video of it was shown to hundreds of millions of people around the world, and I would guess that most of them, like me, did not see the picture in a close-up manner where you could really clearly see precisely what was going on, and it was horrible beyond belief. And the only assessment that you could make is this is the work of Satan, and this was openly a satanic ritual. And then I forgot how far back it was. Has it been a year now? I don't know. But outside of the CERN headquarters, in the middle of the night, allegedly being filmed by the CERN security cameras or somebody's camera, there was allegedly a full-blown satanic ritual being done right in front of the entrance and the building of where CERN is located. And you saw, I don't know, four or more black-robed figures taking a woman who was naked and apparently or allegedly killing her live on video in a satanic ritual. So there's controversy because, hey, we live in a world of special effects. We live in a world where you can make anything look real, and it doesn't mean it is real. So in the very end, I don't know if what I saw was real or it was just looking real. I'm talking about the human sacrifice. And people connected to CERN dismissed it and said it was done as a form of mockery to Christians. But whether it was done as a form of mockery to Christians or it was a real human sacrifice is actually almost secondary because the intent was to assault Christ and Christians in the spirit of Antichrist. So this whatever it was, whether it was simulated or real, it looked lifelike impeccably, and it was an open worship ceremony to Satan. So going back to the Paris Olympics, I can't describe to you what happened in the various visuals that were presented to people all over the world. The abomination of it all, the absolute moral degradation, the absolute filth, the things that children were doing that were clearly visible with adults, that was also clearly visible, constitutes an abomination. And so when you analyze it, I believe it represents an uptick, an upsurge, a signal to the world, if you're paying attention and having spiritual discernment, what you're watching as you watch the timeline of these ever increasing and ever more explicit sexual, pornographic, perversion, death, the celebration of death, the worship of Satan, the worship of demons, the consorting with demons. All of these things are occurring more frequently, and they're occurring more and more intensely, and they're occurring more regularly and more boldly, and they're being done more out in the open in a kind of in-your-face challenge. It's as if Satan and his servants are mocking Christians, they're mocking the biblical God, and they're going out of their way to confront and assault Christians and the Bible and the biblical God, which to me is evidence of a massive escalation of what I refer to as the great spiritual war that right now, this moment, we are in, the greatest spiritual war that has ever occurred in human history. And it is being agitated and mobilized by the spirit of Antichrist, the demons, the fallen angels, and the satanic priests, etc., etc. So in a second, we're going to come back and I'm going to reveal more to you about what's going on and the significance of it, and how it applies directly to your life, the life of your children, your grandchildren, the life of your nation, your life, your future. It is not some abstract theological discussion by any means. It is the most relevant conversation that any Christian could possibly have at a time like this. And if you belong to a church or a Christian community, which is pretending, by not saying anything, by not acknowledging it, by not discussing it, if you belong to a Christian church or a Christian community that is dealing with this by pretending it doesn't exist, then you have entered into a level of spiritual deception that is so deep and so dark that it is like an endless pit on its way to hell. And we're going to reveal more about this and what it means directly to you. But we're not going to leave you hanging in the lurch. We're going to give you biblical truth, biblical wisdom, and biblical power by which you can not only deal with it, but you can be victorious against it. So we'll be back in just a couple of seconds. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. By the way, I consider this is not an easy topic for me to do. It's very, because I'm aware of it, it's very taxing on my spirit, my psyche, my soul, and the burden that goes with it. And the burden is the spiritual, psychological, biological weight and pressure that comes upon me as I contemplate intelligently and spiritually, as I contemplate precisely where this pathway is going to take us and how fast this pathway will take us there. So I need you to pray for me, this ministry, everybody involved in it. Prayers of supernatural protection and spiritual warfare. And I need you to stand with me financially, and I need you to stand with me in ending the rigging. Even programs that have done this topic in the last couple of days, They have been torn down off the internet. Yes, and the so-called channels that you think are friendly to Christianity and friendly to conservatism, et cetera, they have been taking these videos and pictures down, and not because they're, quote, obscene. Being obscene doesn't seem to be taking anybody down ever. But when you expose the hidden works of darkness, oh, then you've committed the unpardonable crime and you're censored. What does that tell you? This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We'll be back in just a second. Visit paulmcguire.us. While you do, make sure you join our prophecy list. Follow our prophecy list and make sure you click follow on whatever social media channel you're listening to us on. It is that keeps the rigging from happening. That gives us the muscle we need to not be an easy target to be taken down. You understand? So if you believe in this message, and quite honestly, you would need a psychiatrist and an army of psychiatrists to examine you. If you didn't believe in this message, you would have to be clinically insane or demon-possessed. I'm serious about this. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Okay, this is Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. What does the satanic celebration out in the open in Paris, France, 2024 that just occurred? It may still be going on now. I don't know. What does it mean? Well, if you know history, what it means, if you have spiritual discernment, you know what it means. And if you know the Bible, you know what it means, especially Bible prophecy. By the way, it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing how all these preachers and ministers who would never, ever, ever, ever teach or preach or acknowledge Bible prophecy or the last days, that in countless numbers, they're jumping on the bandwagon. And now they're experts in Bible prophecy, the last days, the mark of the beast, et cetera, et cetera. Now, on one hand, that could potentially be a good thing, potentially. And the reason I know it is their stuff is popping up on, Musk's channel X. It's popping up on other social media, the titles of their sermons. And I hear my own stuff sprinkled all over the internet. But that's not why I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing this up because one has to evaluate and wonder and question anybody, a minister included, if for decades they have never, ever preached, taught on Bible prophecy or connected Bible prophecy to current events. They stayed away from it. They attacked people like me who talked about it. So now that so many prophetic things are literally exploding out in the open, I think they are experiencing kind of a smack in the face by perhaps their own congregation. And I'm not encouraging that, I'm just telling you what I think. And in an effort to keep their cash flow going, in an effort to stay relevant, in an effort to grow and build their ministries, they've switched horses now, so to speak. And now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, after years of prophetic stuff being in the news, they are now preaching in Bible prophecy. I don't have time to listen to all their sermons, or I'd probably go insane. But it does raise a question mark. Now, if they have really seen the light, so to speak, well, more power to them. But then the question is, since they ignored prophecy for so many years and decades, and attacked it, what exactly is the content of their Bible teaching and preaching now that they are self-proclaimed experts on Bible prophecy? Are they really teaching Bible prophecy and rightly dividing the word? I mean, that's a question I would have. Now, I hope for the best. I hope that it's a sincere change. I hope that. Quite frankly, I'm not naive. Maybe that is the case in a smaller percentage of the people I'm talking about. But I've been around the block one too many times, and I suspect that a lot of this is done for marketing reasons, church growth reasons, oh, and most importantly, cash flow reasons. But there's good and bad with this. The good is the internet is flooded with young people and young adults and people that never expressed an interest in Bible prophecy are all of a sudden, everywhere you look, there are people talking about Bible prophecy and the one world system. I've been doing this for literally 40 years, okay? And I've literally been talking about the one world government, the one world economic system, and the one world religion, the new world order, the cashless society, the mark of the beast, and on and on and on. I've literally been talking about this in detail and in depth and publishing books, writing and speaking about it for decade after decade after decade. And meeting resistance, meeting hostility, meeting adversity, meeting opposition, meeting being attacked. And it's kind of strange now because there's not that many people attacking me. Because to attack me, once they know I've been doing this for 40 years, like it didn't happen 4 days ago or 4 months ago or 4 years ago. I started this 40 years ago. Once they know that, they seem to self-censor themselves. But I am thankful for the legitimate increase of discussion and awareness on Bible prophecy and Bible prophecy related current events. If it's legitimate, I'm all for it. If it's illegitimate, well, that's between that individual or ministry and God. Okay, so let's talk about the truth. The truth is this, and this is what we learn in history and other sources of information, the Bible. So, in the Bible, it tells us over and over again that in the last days, evildoers or evil men and women will get worse and worse. We're in that time period now. The Bible talks about an increase of demons and spiritual warfare and fallen angels and Lucifer and occult signs and wonders, an increase in lawlessness. The Bible definitely talks about, over and over again, the rise of a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world economic system that was until very recently called the New World Order, and now it's called the Great Reset. Jesus Christ, in the signs of the times, talked about the increase in pandemics, wars and rumors of wars, freak weather, earthquakes, and other signs of the times, which we're seeing happen prophetically now in an increase. So we also know that the Bible and Jesus and the Apostle Paul and other of the prophets talked specifically about the increase in false prophets, false teachers, etc., etc. And we see an increase in that. We see an increase in Satanism and Luciferianism and evil and wickedness. So when you look at America going back, let's just go back 15 years, you see it began about 15 years ago to come out in the open, but very small beeps, if like you were looking at a technological instrument, little upticks in open, visible satanic activity here and there began to come out in the open. The whole Charlie Manson thing and his satanic cult-like family was riddled in Satanism. And that was back, what, in the 70s or something? And you know, the movie back in the 70s or something, Rosemary's Baby, and the killing of Sharon Tate, the pedophilia by the director of the film, who was a Satanist, is a Satanist, and others. So then, you know, very gradually, in the 80s especially, but not even in the 80s, the Rolling Stones in the 70s, I believe, sang Sympathy for the Devil, and there were numerous rock groups in the 70s that were singing, you know, praises to the devil. In the 80s, there was a quantum increase of rock groups singing songs with lyrics praising and celebrating the devil in a big way. But nobody really paid attention. I mean, they did pay attention to it, but it was disarming, and it's simultaneously, it was subtle and overt at the same time. And then with the advent of hip hop and rap, especially, and certain rock and roll groups, but especially in hip hop and rap, you saw a literal explosion and acceleration of Illuminati symbols being worn by the hip hop and rap stars. Illuminati hand gestures being used by the music stars, Illuminati rituals, accusations that so-and-so and so-and-so was a member of the Illuminati, and the public boasting of being in the Illuminati. Of course, the Illuminati is a secret society that officially began in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, and financed in part by the Rothschild family. And the Illuminati's agenda is to create a satanic new world order. So all of this stuff has been going on. You look at the architecture of Washington, D.C., it's filled with Illuminati, Freemasonic, satanic symbols. And then in the last 10 years especially, openly Illuminati musical artists, hip-hop artists, rap artists, the biggest musical artists in the world are performing songs with satanic Illuminati symbolism and lyrics, and giant enactments that are satanic, at the Super Bowl show, at various football games, and the NBA stars and Hollywood celebrities belonging to all kinds of Luciferian cults, and all this stuff is growing and growing. And then at the Olympic ceremonies, the ones in Great Britain were in your face, satanic Illuminati symbolism was everywhere, ceremonies in the United States. And so it's been an ever-increasing spiral upwards of more and more Luciferian satanic activity. So every once in a while, there's a major, let's just describe it this way, it's like some invisible foot stomps on the accelerator pedal of your car, and it causes your engine to roar, and you burn rubber because you're accelerating at a very high speed. It's in a similar manner that there are points along the way in the last 10 years where there's this interruption of the normal pace. And the normal, if you can call it normal, the normal pace of satanic growth. And then all of a sudden, there's a massive acceleration and a burning of rubber. Well, that's what just happened in Paris, France, with the Illuminati ceremonies, the Illuminati Olympic ceremonies, which I can't describe to you because they're so wicked, they're so evil, they're so obscene that it breaks every boundary and goes right into the worship of Satan or Lucifer. And not only that, this pivotal moment in history spiritually at the Paris 2024 satanic Olympic ceremonies is so egregious, it's so graphic, it's so evil, it's so perverse. And yet the entire world, especially youth, is sucked into watching it, because even though these major corporations that were bankrolling it allowed it to be seen by hundreds of millions of people, when the backlash hit, they reversed direction and they gave orders for all the media, the social media, the internet media, the TV, all, every form of communications media. They gave the order from the top to stop playing it, to start blocking anybody who's posting it or reposting it on the internet, because they sense the blowback and the anger from the public, such as there was tremendous anger among the French people for this outrageous mockery and insulting of their Christian faith. And so the people who rule the world, who I believe many of them are high-level Satanists and Luciferians, gave the order to stop allowing the media and internet technology that they own. They immediately blocked it. So right now, it's relatively difficult to see pictures of this evil and wickedness because it's been censored by the very people who created it. Because it's disgusting. It's horrible. It's horrific. So what does this mean? Well, what it means is that this is a physically visible evidence of the fact of something that I've been teaching and preaching on for decades, and that is we are currently in the greatest war for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. So these physical eruptions of satanic evil and perversion are a witness to the fact that we are indeed in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world, and it's playing out before us. So the only way to deal with this is not to ignore it and pretend it's not happening, because these people are committed financially, they're committed ideologically, they're committed spiritually, because they've sold their souls to Satan. They're committed to conquering the world for Satan. They're committed to that. And so you can't ignore it, because if you ignore it, you're basically removing any restraint that exists against it. You're giving it the green light to go ahead and conquer, to go ahead and destroy, to go ahead and pervert, to go ahead and give this world and give America and give your children and grandchildren, literally give them over to Satan and Lucifer and the fallen angels. So you can't pretend it's not there. You have to know it's there. And then anyone who claims to be a true Christian would of necessity have to have a supernatural burden in their heart placed there by the Holy Spirit. They would have to hear the definitive call of God upon them right now, where they hear the still small voice of God, or the speaking of God through your inner imagination. And anybody who doesn't hear that, you better question whether or not you're truly saved. And I mean what I'm saying. If you do not hear the call of God right now, if you do not hear the call of the Holy Spirit right now to engage in spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in heavenly places, if you do not hear God's call on your life to join the spiritual army of the Lord and to join in with the Lord Jesus Christ and engage in spiritual warfare, if you do not hear that command from God, then you must seriously look at your own face in the mirror and ask yourself the sober question, am I really saved? Am I truly born again? Because I don't think it's possible for the Holy Spirit to be living inside of you. I don't think it's possible for the Spirit of God to live inside you and at the same time claim to be deaf, dumb, and blind to the call of God on your life right now, the call of God where you hear God saying in a still small voice or in the voice of your inner imagination, you hear God calling you now. And he's calling you by name, and he's calling you to join him, to come to him, and to engage with him and all true believers in this great spiritual war for the hearts and souls of mankind. if you do not hear that voice calling you now, then there's a reason for it. It can't be that God is not calling you now. Why cannot that be? Because how could a God of love not be totally concerned about his creation, about his people, about young children, about young adults? How could the God of love be indifferent to the satanic attacks on our children and grandchildren, our nation, et cetera, et cetera? Well, God couldn't be indifferent, not the God of the Bible. So the problem is not the fact that God is not calling you. The problem is that you have habitually trained yourself not to hear the voice of the Lord. You have habitually trained yourself not to hear the still small voice of God. You have habitually trained yourself to be deaf to the summons of God and to the commands of God. You've done that by habitually training yourself over a period of years. This is how it works. Whenever you're faced with something that's requiring something of you, specifically, whenever God has attempted to communicate to you, when God has attempted to call you, when God has commanded you, or God has spoken to you through his still small voice, and every time that God does that, you respond by pretending that you can't hear God, or you respond by ignoring God, or you respond by choosing not to do whatever it is God is asking you to do, and then you repeat this cycle over and over and over again. Well, what happens after a period of time, after your repetitive denials and disobedience regarding God calling you or God commanding you to do something, after your repeated denials and your repeated refusals, what you have done, whether you realize it or not, is you've trained your human spirit to go into autopilot, so that whenever it hears the command of God, or whenever it hears God calling you, or God commanding you to do something in a still small voice, your automatic response, your programmed response, your autopilot response is to pretend you didn't hear God, or it is to go into autopilot and not do what God is calling you to do. You just automatically shut down. You don't even think about it. You just say, before he's finished asking you to do something, you've already said no in your inner man or inner woman. You said no so fast, and that's because you're operating on your programming, or what we would call autopilot. You've trained yourself like you would train a dog or a cat. You've trained yourself to ignore God, to refuse God, and to disobey God. Now, the problem with that is when the time in life comes, and the time in life comes for every one of us sooner or later, when the time in life comes that we really need to hear from God, where we really need an answer of prayer from God, where we really need to see God answer our prayers, when that time comes, as it surely will, then all of a sudden, you don't see any answer to your prayers. No matter how hard you try, you can't seem to hear God answering your prayer. No matter how hard you try, you can't seem to hear the voice of God commanding you. You can't seem to hear the Lord talking to you in a still small voice. You can't seem to hear the Lord say anything. You can't seem to hear the Lord in a still small voice call you. It's like you have become biologically deaf to the voice of God. So what happened? How did that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. Because you made the decision with an act of your psychological will, because you made the decision to refuse to do what God was telling you to do, because you made the decision to stop hearing God and to block his voice out of your mind, because you refused to do whatever it was that God was calling you to do or commanding you to do, because you refused him so many times it became habitual. So for you to deny hearing the voice of God has become something like an autopilot. It has become an habitual response. So the problem area is not that God does not hear you. It's not that God does not answer prayer. It's not that God is cheap or trying to short you on giving you the miracle you want. The real problem is that you chose to habitually train your human spirit not to hear the voice, not to hear the commandments of God, and you have habitually trained yourself so that you can no longer hear God respond to you or God talk to you or God guide you. That neurological series of circuits in your brain are shot. And so you find you think the problem is God doesn't love you. You think the problem is God doesn't answer prayer. You think the problem is that God is powerless. You think that God is impotent and he can't answer prayer. All of those are false conclusions because they're based on the false premise that you created in your own human mind when you devoted an extended period of time to not listening to God and choosing to deny that you even heard the voice of God. So you ended up, whether you knew it or not, you ended up habitually training your mind to be deaf to the voice of God or to no longer hear when God is speaking to you. You're deaf to all of that. And that, most people don't analyze that properly. Instead of taking responsibility for the fact personally that they chose not to hear from God, they come to the false or erroneous conclusion that God doesn't answer prayer today. They even develop entire theologies. They even develop entire Christian theologies to support their heretical understanding of the scripture. And the false theologies sound like things like this. Oh, well, in today's generation, God no longer performs miracles. In today's dispensation, God no longer does the miraculous, like healing people or opening blind eyes. God no longer delivers people from demons. God no longer answers prayer miraculously. That was for a different dispensation. All of those theological statements that I just quoted to you are based entirely on lies and spiritual deception. They're not based on rightly dividing the Word of God. These were statements made up by men and women who failed to interpret the Word of God accurately, and they were not seeing their own prayers answered. They weren't seeing the miracles they wanted to see in their lives, and so they decided to invent a new theology that centered around unbelief and a denial of the power of the Word of God. So entire theological systems and entire denominations have invented their own theological systems that not only justify, but they allow for an ongoing, continuing state of unbelief where the people praying theologically no longer believe that God answers prayer miraculously. And so they assume that that's a theological or biblical tenet. No, it's not a theological or biblical tenet. It's the result of Christians habitually training themselves to not hear God, to not believe God, to not experience miracles, and all kinds of things. So you have habitually trained yourself to believe a totally non-biblical theology which preaches that God in the last days, the time when miracles would be more needed than ever before, you've trained yourself habitually to no longer believe that Jesus performs miracles, that Jesus casts out demons, and that Jesus will answer your prayers. You've developed and you've developed and grown, homegrown, your own theological system to justify unbelief. And that is not rightly interpreting the Word of God. Okay, so the answer to this is that we must penetrate immediately the unbelief and the spiritual darkness covering the body of Christ, covering humanity right now. The only way we can do that is through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and then we must obey God, who is definitely and without question. We must obey God because He is clearly calling us now, just like He's clearly calling you now, and He's clearly calling me now, to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit, to rise in the wisdom of God's Word, and to engage 100% in the spiritual battle. That means intercessory prayer. That means evangelism. That means spreading the Word of God. That means going into all the world and preaching the gospel. That means igniting an authentic and biblical revival. And that means waging war against the principalities and powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, in order to do that, it is mandatory that you and I hear the Lord when He speaks to us, and that we obey the Lord when He speaks to us. It means that we are no longer where we're going to repent from the lifestyle that is quite common in America. This is an ungodly lifestyle that I label part-time Christians. In America, we have cultivated a lukewarm, powerless Christian culture in which we, through our very anti-biblical discipleship, we grow up Christians in the false teaching that it is possible and acceptable before God for us to be part-time Christians. So we have discipled tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions, of what I call part-time Christians in America. And that comes from misinterpreting God's teaching and misinterpreting God's word regarding the truth of grace or unmerited favor. Unmerited favor comes about because you, by faith, receive the forgiveness of God through the blood of Jesus, and therefore you have a restored favor between you and Jesus Christ. The restoration of this favor between you and Jesus is built upon the truth that by faith and repentance, you can be cleansed of your sins by the blood of Jesus. But that implies that you're not carrying out some kind of American Christian ritual of what I would call counterfeit repentance, where you pretend that you're repenting, you pretend that you have faith in the blood of Jesus, and that you pretend that God just forgives you all of your sins. That would be true if your repentance was genuine, if your repentance was truly built on faith in Jesus Christ. But if it's a kind of faking it Christian walk, like fake it till you make it, you're not going to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So you've got to come to a point of decision, what I would call a turning point. Many of you right now, those of you right now that are experiencing what could be called or described as a minor trembling in your body, or maybe a little bit more than minor trembling in your body, I want to tell you directly that the trembling that you're experiencing in your body right now is not because you have a biological or physiological problem. The reason you're experiencing a trembling right now is because you're experiencing an authentic visitation of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And as this authentic visitation by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God begins to touch you, you begin to respond by a trembling. It physiologically, it feels like your body is trembling. You feel a trembling. And the reason you feel a trembling right now, and maybe you've never experienced a trembling before, but you definitely are experiencing a trembling right now, is because the Holy Spirit of God is visiting you. His presence is touching you right now in the name of Jesus. And your automatic response to that is that your body begins to tremble. It's shaking somewhat. And it's shaking somewhat, and it's trembling somewhat, because it's not used to being visited upon by the pure Holy Spirit of God. But now, maybe this has never happened to you, maybe it's happened before many times, I don't know. But right now, there's no question that the Holy Spirit of God has entered your room, your car, or whatever environment you're in. The Holy Spirit has entered the place or space where you are. And the outcome of the Holy Spirit visiting you is that you're beginning to tremble to whatever extent. And the reason you're trembling is because even though you're saved, your fallen human nature, your fallen man or your fallen woman is not used to being visited personally by the holy presence of the Holy Spirit. You're not used to it. It's unusual to you. I would say it's unusual to me to one degree or another. And so your body is responding to this unknown visitation to you now by God by trembling. And the reason you're trembling is because you know in your heart of hearts that you are, yes, you're saved by grace. Yes, you're saved by grace. But you also know in your heart of hearts that you are a fallen man or a fallen woman, that you are a sinner saved by grace. But it's one thing to know that intellectually. It's one thing to know that in terms of memorization. And it's quite another to know that you have been saved by grace, that you're a sinner who's been saved by grace. It's quite another to know that experientially, when the power of Almighty God, the power of the Holy Spirit breaks through the fog and begins to touch you personally, and you begin to tremble and shake slightly. What that is a result of the interaction of you as a human being coming into an intimate presence of the living God, whose name is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when this happens, you receive a divine revelation, a divine unveiling of the fact that you are indeed a sinner. You are indeed unclean, as I am, as every man or woman is on this earth, even if we're saved, and that we have to work. We're not negating grace. Don't misread what I'm saying to you. My grace is sufficient for you. You're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. That never changes. But the reason you're trembling is because, to be quite frank, and it has nothing to do with me as a man. By that I mean, it has nothing to do with how, you know, it has nothing to do with how special or holy or anointed or nothing should be even remotely attributed to me, because God is moving through an act of his grace, unmerited favor. And the message that I gave you, and you know it, because right now I feel the trembling building in me. Not only do I feel the trembling building in me, I feel the emotions. It's like I'm experiencing vicariously the emotions of God towards everything I described to you concerning this rise of Satanism, especially with the children in Paris, France, and the Olympic ceremony. It's like for a brief moment, I'm connected, and I think many of you are connected right now to the Holy Spirit, to the biblical God. We're connected, and we can feel his presence. We can sense his presence. And we can sense, can't we? Yes, tell the truth. You can sense his presence. Quit faking it. You may be sitting there in your chair and somebody's watching me and somebody's watching TV at the same time. But you who are watching TV, I'm not here to beat up on you. I'm just telling you that for whatever reason, my words are lodging in your heart and they're overpowering what you're hearing on TV. And you're experiencing what I'm experiencing now because you are, hear me, you are a man of God and you are a woman of God and you are a child of God. And because you are a child of God and not a child of the devil, you are experiencing the pain and the anguish that our loving God is experiencing as he looks upon the abomination and this rise of Satanism and pedophilia and child sacrifice, etc. So you see, that message God put on my heart and then anointed with the power of his Holy Spirit. And then it invaded the place where you are physically. And you began to tremble. Some of you are still trembling. Some of you are sensing the buildup of emotion. And all of that is coming from God and the Holy Spirit of God, this building up of emotion. And what this is doing is that God is ministering to you. God is imparting into you what you really want, not what you think you really want. God, because of he loves you, is imparting into you supernaturally what you really want, which is not what you think you want. And what you really want in your inner man and inner woman, what you really want above everything else is to please God. Why? How do I know that? I know that because the Holy Spirit is inside you, and the Holy Spirit wants nothing more than to please God. And you know that the only way that you can please God after hearing a message like this is to respond to the call of God on your life and take a stand and engage in the spiritual warfare necessary to overturn the powers of darkness, the satanic covens, the witchcraft, the child sacrifice, the pedophilia, the torture of young children, women, and men, all of these acts of abomination. God is calling you to rise in the spiritual realm. And as you rise, you discover, hear what I have to say to you, because it's anointed by the Lord God Almighty, and the Lord God Almighty has a message for you. And it's not your imagination, and it's not the bombacity of my personality. It is the fact that the Lord God Almighty is speaking to you and commanding you to rise in the spiritual battle, and to exercise the spiritual authority and the keys of the kingdom that the Lord God Almighty has given you for such a time as this, and to move forward boldly in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you move forward boldly in the power of the Holy Spirit, you obediently set the prisoners free. The prisoners are those that have been captured by Satan, Satanists, Luciferians, fallen angels, demons, and those that follow Satan. You are to set the captives free. And as you rise in obedience, you will discover that the Lord God Almighty will fill you. Right now, the emotion is being transformed from trembling and shaking, because that's the initial response to a move of the Spirit of God in your life. But the Lord is transforming that, and you are being filled right now with power from on high. And may I say to you humbly that the Lord himself has made the decision now to fill you with power from on high. And so at this very moment, in light of the raging spiritual battle that's going on all across planet Earth, manifested by things like biological warfare, laboratory-invented vaccines, manifested by big pharma, big food, manifested by World War III, manifested by weapons of mass destruction, manifested by the occult, witchcraft, Satanism, manifested by all kinds of demonic forces. Now you're rising, and as you rise, and even before you rise, I tell you this in the spirit of truth. I tell you this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I tell you that right now, the Lord, if you'll simply open your palms, you don't even have to let somebody see what you're doing. You just subtly open your palms towards heaven. if one hand is occupied, like you're doing something or whatever, then open the other hand and palm, and you can subtly hold your palm open and aim your palm towards the heaven. And nobody has to see it but you and Jesus. Now, if you will do that, and many of you are doing it, I'd say the majority of you are doing it right now, I want you to know that you are pleasing the Lord by that simple act of opening your palm up towards the Lord in the heavens. And now I ask you to simply exercise a mustard seed of faith. That's all it takes. I'm asking you to exercise a mustard seed of faith. And right now, something's going to happen, which is going to transform your life now. And it's going to continue with an ongoing transformation supernaturally, which will transform the direction and the composition of your life forever. So be prepared. No, God isn't going to make you into a weirdo. God isn't going to force you to marry an ugly man or an ugly woman. God isn't going to, you know, mutilate you so you look like a dork and act like a dork and speak like a dork. None of that's going to happen to you. But I want you to open your palm now towards heaven and say, you can say these words in your head if you need to. You can speak them silently. Optimally, you should say it out loud, but the Lord will honor either of those three choices. And simply come before the Lord now and say these words. Now, I'm assuming you've already prayed for salvation. I'm assuming you've already asked God to forgive you of your sins. If that's the case, forget about your theology. Are you going to argue with God and impress God with your theology or your theological training? Is that what this is all about? You playing chess with God and raising a theological argument in the throne room of God that's directed to the face of God? Do you know how ridiculous that sounds? Why would you think that you're going to have a theological argument that's going to persuade God that God should change his theology based on whatever you picked up along the way or were taught? No, that's not going to happen. All you have to do is humble yourself. Humble yourself. If what I'm saying to you isn't true, nothing will happen now or in the future. But make sure that the determining factor rests upon your coming to God totally open, because you can't be totally humble before God unless you're also totally open to God at the same time. And simply now pray this simple prayer. And what you're going to pray for is the supernatural spiritual power that you need to be victorious in the mission that he's called you to. Very simple. So pray these words, open your palm before God, and simply say, repeat these words in your own manner if you choose. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would cleanse me of every single sin, past, present, or future in my life, and I receive your forgiveness by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. I praise you, Jesus. And right now, at this very moment, I ask you, with my palms outreached towards heaven, right now, Jesus, I ask you to clothe me with power from on high. I ask you to fill me with power from on high. I ask you to clothe me with power from on high. And Lord, I worship you and I praise you as I can sense with my spiritual man or woman, I can sense the reality of your divine inflow, your divine energy filling me to overflowing. I can sense, God, that in the name of Jesus right now, you're clothing me with power from on high. I feel your divine energy, the divine energy of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, infusing me with the dunamis dynamite power of God. And I praise you and I thank you that I'm being flooded with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that right now I'm being consumed with the power and that you're downloading me upon me, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis. Lord, I praise you and worship you for clothing me with power from on high, God. And I thank you for giving me this supernatural strength. I thank you for giving me this supernatural anointing so that I may know the pathway you have for me so that I may be victorious in waging spiritual warfare and so that I can be used victoriously to defeat the devil, the demons, the fallen angels, and all those that have joined up with Satan. I thank you that I can be victorious in any spiritual battle because I am now radiating from within. I'm radiating from within, from the internal being in me, the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ. The outflow is the supernatural power of God. You have clothed me with power from on high, and it is moving out from within my inner man or woman. I don't really have a lack of words to appropriately describe it, but let's just say in my human perfection that you are radiating from within you. The Spirit of God, when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, came inside of you, and now God is placing a demand, because he's God, on that the Spirit of God that he's anointed you with is being released from within your inner man or inner woman, and you're being flooded with the supernatural power of God and the anointing of God. The dunamis dynamite power of God is exploding from within you by the release of the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for doing it. And so what you're going to experience now, first in the area of your stomach, the tightness, the knots in your stomach are being dissolved instantaneously by the power of God. The invisible, almost metallic-like band that's wrapped around your stomach, that's wrapped around your heart, and that's wrapped around your brain area, those are symbolic visual pictures that represent a degree of spiritual bondage that you are under in what we could call the battle for your mind, the battle for your heart, and the battle for your stomach area. Because remember, neurologically, your stomach area, your heart area, and your brain area are where all the neurological highways are that process information, emotions, spiritual things, et cetera, et cetera. But when we carry too much of it, when the weight of it is too much, it begins to press in on us, kind of like metallic bands, which represent a form of bondage, of being a prisoner. And God at this moment is declaring to you that you have just been set free. And these bands that have been wrapped around you in the invisible realm have all been snapped. They've all been broken. So what you're sensing now is a spirit of release produced by the Spirit of God. And the spirit of release, God is declaring that you have been set free and he's released you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And now the Lord is saying to all those that sincerely and genuinely received the power of God and his anointing, now you can hear what the Lord is saying to you. And what the Lord is saying to you, he's declaring to you, he's calling you to rise now by faith. God is calling you to rise by faith, rise wearing the full armor of God, and by faith receive the supernatural boldness of Almighty God, and with an act of your will, now choose to faithfully enter the spiritual battle. Choose to use the weapons of your warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those bands were strongholds. Choose to enter the spiritual battle right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for doing this, God. To countless numbers of people across America and across the world, we thank you, Lord, that you've miraculously entered their lives. And let those that are trying to process this remember the words from the Bible, which are, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power, says the Lord. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of intellectual debate or talking or verbalization. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. And the dunamis dynamite power of God just sets you free. And you are now under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you are equipped to engage in victorious battle against the forces of darkness, and so you shall. In Jesus' name, we thank you for what you've done, God. Amen and amen." So let me share this with you. We just tiptoed into the outer areas of the truth of God that will enable God's people to win the spiritual battle and occupy until Jesus Christ comes. You need to rise and obey God and obey the call of God. I'm asking you to partner with us in communicating this teaching, communicating this message to as many people as possible across America and across the world. One of the primary outreach technologies that we use is the internet and social media. They're trying to take us down, and then at a certain point, they're going to take any truth teller down, and they can do that by computers. However, if we stand our ground spiritually and stand our ground as good citizens and speak up as law-abiding, peaceful citizens and engage in spiritual warfare, if we will do those things, we can drive the devil and the powers of darkness. We can literally drive them out of our land, drive them out of many lands on planet Earth, and we can occupy all of those lands until Jesus Christ comes. So I'm asking you to partner with me first in the power of the Holy Spirit and intercessory prayer. I need you to pray for me, my family, and all those who are associated with this ministry. I need you to pray over our ministry and the technology, binding the powers of darkness. Always, I need you to watch our backs and help defeat the lies of rigging, and make sure you take time to follow this ministry by going to the social media outlet that you're using to listen or watch us on, and then make sure that you step out in faith and follow us, because they are distorting and manipulating our numbers for the end game of getting rid of us. You understand that, right? Those who speak the most truth are the biggest targets. And I've been speaking truth for 40 years, for crying out loud. Now, finally, it requires finances. I won't give you the list now, but we need to upgrade all of our technologies, because the technologies have been reinvented many times since we made our initial investment. In order to stay on the internet, in order to expand our outreach, in order to do the studio things, the upgrades in the studio, the upgrades in the lighting package, in order to either fully purchase a physical space for Paradise Mountain Church and make it simultaneously a meeting place and a production place, we need to either purchase a studio space or raise the funds to regularly rent, as we had been doing before, available space for both production and for gathering together in prayer and worship, et cetera, et cetera. So we need your financial help in that area. But most of all, we need the additional funds that are necessary to expand this outreach and to communicate this message as fast as we possibly can, because, as you know, the time is short. And if we do not act strategically and intelligently, because there's not that many people that are acting strategically and intelligently, there's a small number. If we do not act strategically and intelligently, they will take everything from us. And I won't go further than that, because you already know that. So I need you to pray to God, while the Spirit of God is still anointing you and the freshness of the presence of the Lord is still upon you, I need you to ask God how much you should give financially, or how much you should donate or contribute, how often you should donate or contribute, and then whatever God commands you to do, simply obey Him. Don't fall back into this, "I pretend I'm not hearing you, God," routine. But that doesn't work. It doesn't work for anybody. Whatever God is telling you to do, obey Him. And right now He's telling you to rise, and He's already put instructions in your heart. Don't cop out by saying, "Oh, that's just my imagination." No, it's not just your imagination. It's the direction of Almighty God and the direction of the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference. Follow and obey whatever it is the Lord is telling you to do. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Make sure you join our prophecy e-blast so we can send you confidential, more private information. That's what we're headed. But we need your help. So join us. And I thank you in advance for joining us. And I pray that today's program has blessed you supernaturally. God bless you, your brother in Christ. This is Paul McGuire.